Pray for myself, Lord. There are things, Lord, you're working out of me. You're working on everybody here, Lord. I just pray that this would, Lord, we would take this application to heart, God. You wish to tell us, God. I just pray, speak through me. Speak through Pastor Mike. I'm sure he has a lot of really great insight into what we need to hear today, Lord. So I just pray that you would help me to kind of deliver this message, and let's walk in this, Lord. I just pray in Jesus' name.
Quick question. Did you guys drive out this morning?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not the road. It's not that bad, actually.
No.
Yeah, we got to bed late, or around 9, 10 o'clock. So
yeah.
We woke up pretty sober. It was like, we weren't like falling asleep on the road or nothing. This is Matthew 18, 1 to 6.
Forget how to turn pages. Too much phone. Too much phone queue.
Nah, but what is the
screen crap?
Anybody want to read?
Sure, as long as everybody's there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to...
18, 1 through 6.
Yeah.
It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea."
So, in the midst of the crazy busyness of the last couple of weeks, I kind of asked God during the times, like, okay, what do you want me to speak on and so forth? And two things he kind of brought to my mind. I was actually taking a ride in my bike, and I take my bike when it's nice and cool out, or warm enough, I should say. And sometimes I pass over the river. Over the river, sometimes parents are out there with their children and so forth. And I happen to spot like this. There's this little area where families bring their children. It's right next to the river. And, you know, the parents are doing their thing, and the kids are there, and none of them had their mask on enough, and not that it has anything to do with anything, but it was just like you could see their expression on their face. And, you know, I just drove past them on my bike, and it was just interesting to examine in the midst of this incredible circumstance that we're in right now, in this climate, spiritually, and, you know, politically, and whatever you want to say, and just to see it means nothing to them. And what's interesting is I was like, you know, the polite thing to do when you see somebody is you put your head down. You know, you just like, I'm not going to stare or nothing. I'm not going to just, you know. There's not even acknowledgement anymore when people pass each other, even rural areas. But, you know, when you pass this kid, he was just kind of, he just looked at me and he kept looking. And then he saw me go up the ramp, and then he kind of like got up on the thing and was like looking at me and kind of like just, you know, keeping his eye on me as I was like, and I thought, that's kind of interesting. This kid's like inquisitive, just myself, you know. I'm like, okay. This scripture verse here is interesting because I kind of put it in picture form. You know, here's all these disciples in a semicircle around Jesus and saying, you know, who is the greatest? And he doesn't even pull out an example of intelligence. He doesn't pull out an example of, you know, great achievement or biblical scholarship. He literally says, there's this child over, bring him in. And he puts him before the disciples. Now, that's something I think you have to put in your imagination to see. All of these disciples, well-trained, with zeal for God and so forth, and he just puts a child smack down in front of him and says, whoever then humbles himself as the child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It says, if you truly, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Then there's also this instillment of the fear of the Lord, of this sort of like pure mind mindset here. It's, you know, and then if anyone would try to deviate from or attempt to have somebody deviate from through their own attempt, a young heart such as this, a pure heart, one that's not, you know, has, you know, this sort of like purity, not, that's not based on like merit or works or nothing or achievement or intellect, and you try to like take this pure heart and you try to like pollute it. It says, whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and be drowned at the depth of the sea. And it's really about belief. You know, this child is just an innocent. He just believes in Jesus Christ. Not about his works, not about what he did, and so forth. But at the same time, there's a reality in this that we, as children, we really have to start looking at God as our Father, and not. Not play, you know, and not have the mindsets that man has with age, that are from the earthly mindsets, so to speak. And they're really simple. That's the beauty of this, is it brings back the simplicity of just believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, but also the heart. I was just thinking about that kid and just thinking, you know, this kid has no, you know, he took, you know, there was a gaze of interest. There was no burden on this kid whatsoever. You didn't see any burdens on him. He wasn't depressed. There's no fear in him. There's no worry of the concerns of, you know, you kind of think of yourself when you were children. There's no concern when you were growing up with your parents where the food would be, you know, who would put food on the table and so forth. What was going on in the arenas, there was none of that. You didn't ponder death. There was no prejudice or anger towards those around you. And for the most part, I know we were all rebellious to a certain degree, but there was a reverence, obedience to our parents, because in a way back then, they were basically the lord of the house, you know. It's just interesting when you kind of have this mindset, it comes back to the simplicity of who we are and how we are to be to God, and not to get so overburdened with, not to put burdens on ourselves, so to speak, that shouldn't be there. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the disciples, the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. It's Ephesians 6:4. Your parents were like sort of like an umbrella over you, and again, they were the sole provision for you as you were growing up. You didn't allow the world to weigh you down. The weight of the world, the weight of what was going on around you, was solely in the hands of your parents. You know, you could say even your father. There really wasn't, and you didn't have to put that weight upon you. And, you know, you get the reminder here is like, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. That's Jeremiah 1:5. It's just an understanding that God knows what you're going to do, where you're going to go. And God was God's dealing with me in regards to these burdens. I put a lot of burdens on myself, and I put a lot of hardships. I'm like, oh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And he keeps testing me to just let go, and let go, and let go, and just say, look, it looks impossible, but I'm trying to train you in trust. I'm trying to train you in obedience.
Sure.
And there's a lot of emotionalism. Like, I've made a lot of mistakes in my past, and they still haunt me to this day. And I have to let those things go, because children make mistakes. You know, they make a lot of mistakes. They do a lot of stupid things. But it's really about us just trusting in God that he really does have our back and whatever we go through. And one thing the Lord kind of reminded me is, you know, kind of like envisioning this child before Jesus. You know, this child, I kind of had this vision of like, this child comes up stands in front of these guys, and he, you know, the disciples, and just sitting there like, what am I doing here? You know, but there's sort of like a, not a cluelessness, but a reality of the purity of innocence and simplicity of the gospel. I felt more than anything, as we get older, we get more biased, we get more embittered, we take stereotypes. I kind of use the example of this lady that I did some Uber driving with. She got in my car and she was like throwing her shoes into my car. And first off, when someone throws shoes in your car and hits the window, you kind of go, I'm not going to give this person no respect whatsoever. I'm not going, you know, this person's disrespecting my car. And yet, in the midst of that, God gave me a word for her, and it kind of touched her heart. And sometimes we will build prejudice against certain people and so forth, and we'll just assume, and it can be anything. And we may think that we don't have that. We always assume, oh, we don't have that. Like when we see a cashier at a grocery store, we might just oh well, they're just nobody. They're, you know, and at the same time, they are somebody. Like right now, God has put on my heart to talk to this guy who is living in a van outside by our house.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think nothing of this guy. He's not, there's nothing to him. He's, you know, he doesn't have much teeth. I think he might be doing something illegal. I just kept feeling God's to go and speak to this person. And I would have to say, like, out of the average person that you would see, that, you know, it's, they can be as foolish as they come, you know, and you kind of go, why would God, you know, and you realize exactly.
Sure.
You know. So we tried to ask him for, if he wanted to have some breakfast. And, you know, we had a good breakfast laid out, and we tried. And he said, I'm not a breakfast guy, but I could tell, you know, this is what it really means to be this, to be a child, and not to take any bias towards nothing. Not to assume anything, not to assume that somebody is, where this is at, will never ever come to God. And it's funny because in the last couple of months I've been kind of biased towards a bird. You know, I was like, oh, I just want to see, you know, God move upon West Lafayette. West Lafayette is west of the river. That's where all the intellect, you know, good-looking girls and boys who have got their lives all together, got into a really prestigious school. They need Jesus, you know. And at the same time, east of the river is all these disenfranchised, homeless and hurting people. And I've kind of ignored the east of the river and just kind of concentrated west of the river. And God's like, I put you east of the river for a reason. You're not sitting on campus. So, you know, you're here, you know. And it's not that God has a huge burden for the school, but it's a huge contrast between the different types of people. And I think that's kind of what God's put on my heart as far as understanding. I need to be like a child in his essence. I look at everybody. I just met this one kid, hanging with him. I've really been praying for him. His name is Evan. Just have a heart for these kids out here. It's pretty strong. Just to have that burden of care and love for others. It doesn't matter who they are, what their background is. God's always trying. You know, it's just like a child. Not having any bias against anybody that mistreats us, or having a bias against a group of people because usually you might assume that they're just, they have no manners or something like that. That could be anything. It could be race. It could be, whatever you might assume, make that kind of assumption. It might be the familiarity of the attitude of those within your neighborhood, you know. Children, this is Ephesians 6:1-4. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may turn out well for you and that you may live long on the earth. This one is really strong. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. Deuteronomy 5:29. As children of God, as this child that Jesus presents, I think you got to put yourself in that mindset of, as a child, when your father took his hand and reached his hand out, you grabbed the hold of that hand. You didn't let go. You didn't hold back. And you weren't full with so much garbage that the world puts in your mind. So many times God's reminding me as I'm going out, and I have this fear of like talking to someone. Am I going to do it right? Am I going to do it right? Am I spirit filled enough to share the faith with somebody? And God says, it's not about you. It's about me leading you and just obeying me. Just stop being so afraid of man. Stop having all of these preconceived notions. Just spit it out. You know, don't worry about you. And it's not about you. It's about me. We feared our fathers. Do we not fear our heavenly Father? Where's that reverential fear? This is just a couple of verses here. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. I didn't put the verse down for that, but it's.
Don't worry about that, man.
That's fine.
We're hearing it, so that's what counts.
The reality is, as we get older, we become more and more embittered. And we need to kind of break that. There's no embitterment in a child, you know. And then one of the warnings there is that we in our attitudes, from hardness from the world and our personal prejudice against those around us, we can embitter a child. And I just feel like that embitterment is something that comes with age. We need to release that embitterment. It's deep. The embitterment can be very deep, very subtle. We can talk a lot of Christian language and all that, but there's always this. There are embitterments that kind of can creep up. Childlike faith, childlike love is an open road to God's heart. The enemy likes to get us embittered. The counterfeit of the Holy Spirit is very embittered. God has no wish for us to be embittered against even Him. It is a time of release where we have to kind of say, Lord, I trust you. I don't care what the circumstance is. Because despite the circumstance that goes around that child that I bumped into, it's totally irrelevant to him. He's totally irrelevant to it. It doesn't bother him. He looks to his parent. He doesn't look to, at the time it was his mom. But there is, and there's a childlike wonderment. A child is innocent. A child is trusting. A child believes without complication. Child has not made time to allow a preconceived notion of the world to form his decision-making. Mm-hmm. Child receives with joy, forgetting himself or herself with lighthearted abandonment. A child is humble. A child is content in the living things. A child has the faith to move mountains. A child is awed by majestic splendor. A child takes to heart God's word in all its simplicity. I did some time, God kind of brought me to 1 John, and it was, I always noticed that, you know, if you read that, there are parts in there where it's almost like a loving father speaking down to children. It's a loving father speaking to the sons for instruction. One of them is, little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John is a reminder that it is not complicated when it comes to how we should approach God, how we should love God, what is right, what is wrong. It is simplistic, and even a child could see the simplicity of what is right and what is wrong. And we can see that, and we have no excuse to hold any prejudice, any form of embitterment, any form of doubt during this time. And that's the reality of Scripture. There's a no-duh reality to Scripture. It just says it's simple. It's not complicated. We need to just grab the Father's hand. And that's simply it. You either let Him lead you on or not. Some of us are not even grabbing a hold of God's hand. We're sort of like hiding in the corner in this embittered emotional state, kind of like, I ain't doing that, you know. I just pray that God breaks the indifferent spirit. It's just like, whatever, I'm going to do my own thing. God showed me that we don't need to be weighed down by the externals around us that are happening. Because that's going to make the big difference when things really go south, is whether or not we try. Look at just even the pandemic. I mean, I literally threw my hands up when I sat there literally without employment, you know, and said, okay, well, I can't go out. There's a pandemic. And without any effort whatsoever, there was a provision in the form of unemployment, which I've never been on in my entire life. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to be proud or arrogant that I need to do this or that, but I'm just going to take it. And God made a provision for over a year, almost a year, of just provisions. And that's just trusting in God through this whole thing, but not letting these things weigh down your witness, because more than ever, the light is going to get brighter in the darkness, and the darkness will get darker. We cannot cower in the corner in emotionalism. We cannot cower in just like defeatism. A child, you remember when you were a child, you used to grow up and used to say, when I grow up, I'm going to conquer the world by doing this or that. You know, that's God's attitude. God has put that attitude in children, that's how we should be. What are we going to do for the kingdom of God in this season? Are we going to sit back and just let the world burn? Or are we going to like get up and take action, even in this time? That's what God's calling us to do, is action. Not to sit around, not to mosey around, do nothing. You take the weight of the world off of us as children. There's no weight on them. The weight of everything was put upon the cross, and that was taken care of by Jesus. We don't have to hold that burden. We don't have to hold the burden. We don't have to hold on to anything that is not of God, that weighs us down, that wearies us. We don't need to be wearied or weighed down at all. And we have to continue to look to the cross and to look to Jesus Christ and to see that He's with us. He's not against us. And we need to take the Father's hand. We need to take the Father's hand. Come with me. That's all I have.
Yeah, no, that's probably one of the crucial, most important things. You know, you've got to figure the guys are walking with him at this point, and it's interesting because, as always, with any organization, him being called rabbi, there were rabbis that had disciples that literally walked around with him in those days. It was not odd what Jesus was doing. The thing that was different, obviously, is who he actually was. It's like we try to figure out the angles, because you got Peter, who was usually the chief speaker. You got Judas, who's the treasurer. You've got Jude and Simon, who are almost related to Jesus. Then you got Andrew, who was the first one Jesus called. All the guys had, to a sense, a part even in that group that would make them possibly think that they had an edge on a higher position. So as he brings the kid in, it would have been mind-blowing, because it wasn't a statement made in a void to where Jesus is just saying, be like a child. It's a statement being made in a group of guys that feel each one has a particular advantage to have a particular ranking in the group. Like the money handler, you know, of course, turned out to be a trader, but just the same. The treasurer, he's balancing the books. Peter's usually was a chief speaker. He's usually the guy doing a lot of the talking. You get Andrew, who's the first one Jesus called. And all these things, even in the order of the rabbi Jesus, they're trying to figure out who has the inroad on this little group. And when it's a good point you bring up. When he brings in a child, children do not have ambition. You know, children actually don't care whether they... Little children don't care if they conquer the world, although they can dream of being firemen, you know what I mean? And that's a good point you brought up. But when you put the kid in that whole ambition circle, it's a blowout. It's a total... I can honestly see these guys scratching their head. It doesn't make sense, because in growing up, you do learn responsibility. You learn mature, so... They're trying to figure out what the heck, you know. I got to think they rolled this around for a while, but you're absolutely right. Kids trust their parents. Well, in a normal home, and I think this is what Jesus was speaking to, the kid trusts his parent. I mean, I never wondered if I would starve with my father. You know what I mean? I asked for a pony. I asked for things. You know, I never knew finances or what, you know what I mean, when you're a little kid. Dad, I want this. And it never dawned on me because I was a kid. And you're so right on that. And the kid never questioned the parent. In my house, you might have fought for things you wanted to do, but they had it. I remember hiding behind my mom's leg a lot. I was real shy. And that was good, you know, as long as she was there, as long as he was there. So you're right. But it's like one of the hardest lessons because we get cynical, like you said. And it's true. We can get cynical. We can get unbelieving. And I was just praying with somebody last night. They're in business, and they've had some tough times. And, you know, a lot of businesses right now, it's really hard. And was the answer telling them, like you said, telling them about whatever angles that would help, or part was the answer God would give them as part of this, becoming like a child, trusting the Father? And yeah, it doesn't need a lot of commentary. What you said, it sits on its own really well. What you said sits really well. But yeah, it's interesting though, isn't it? We try to figure the angles, because even as these guys are following him, the only reason they asked that was because they wanted to know how they lined up in this group. I mean, they don't ask unless think about this, there's a part where they're actually at a point where they're seeing miracles, lepers cleansed, the feeding of the 5,000, you know what I'm saying, feeding of the 5,000. Mm-hmm. Look at the divine order of Jesus. Then at one point, suddenly they want to know how they stack up in that organization. And it's a wrong-headed approach, and Jesus, to me, obliterates the approach. But isn't it interesting, even with the miracles of God, they're still using earthly equations as to what might make them higher up in this little group of guys. And it's not sad, it's human. But yeah, you're right. What's interesting though, when he says it causes the one of the little ones to stumble, because if you get a group of competitors, the simpleton is usually eliminated, because the person without any emotional or experience currency, you laugh at him because he's not going anywhere in the organization. Yet Jesus uses it as the plumb line, a child with nothing. And so these guys with, you know, I'm the treasurer, I'm the speaker. I was called first, Andrew, you know what I mean? Simon and Jude were actually almost like second cousins to Jesus. He just blows it all out of the water. There's no pecking order except the quality of heart of a child. So it's an amazing thing, guys. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing. But yeah, that's good, man. I mean, it's hard, but it's not, I don't know that it's hard, because you have times you let go, and you really let go. But we have this thing in us to where we grip. Heck, we grip and control even when we're beyond our control. And I just, yeah, I love it. I think it's a prayer you can pray, and I think it's a prayer you can ask. And it's not saying don't ever be prepared. It's not saying don't have a job. But what Jesus is doing is a state of trust. And the good news is we all wrestle with the issues of surrender at one time or another. But I've met plenty of people who truly live by this decree. And they truly trust the Father without question. They truly realize what makes one great in the kingdom of God. I love it. But you're right about the embitterment, because as you get older, you don't have to be. I try to stay away from being embittered. You know, people that get embittered are people who question their situation. They question why things are going. Why is not a question I ask a lot. I stay away from it, because the road to embitterment is either comparison to where you think you should be at, or doubting God that He's in control. Those are the controls for being embittered, because those are the ones where we stop trusting. And we start questioning our, you know, why am I going through this? That's a road to embitterment. I've seen Christians that trusted the Lord and certain things didn't pan out, and they're all angry at God. I'm like, why did you sit around constantly questioning whether God could? You know, you kept making goals of how I've heard just a lot of things. Through all the years of ministry, one thing I hear a lot by people getting embittered is, you know, they always have an idea of where they think they should be at. God's judgment doesn't come. I gotta be doing this. And they're full of themselves. They're full of their own projections of, I shouldn't be struggling. Like all that. I always hear this. It's the same thing. It's like, this verse is really a warning. Really a warning. It's a good point. I'm glad you brought up being embittered. What's it say? Be careful that a root of bitterness doesn't come up in you because it defiles people around you as well as yourself. So that's good. Yeah, heart. It seems hard to people. And I think we read over it and we miss the point. But like you said, that kid at the park, he didn't think you were a mugger. He didn't stare at you because he thought you were dangerous. At least I'm going to assume to him. He had open curiosity. And when I was a kid, I would do that. I would stare at people. I found certain people looked interesting, but didn't think anything about them because I was never mugged. I never, you know, had somebody pull a gun on me in an alleyway. And so I never questioned. You could look at people objectively. And I love that, though. I really love it. But that last verse is heavy because people have a tendency when they strive for power and position, they have a tendency to disregard the simple in their midst. They have a tendency to even want... those who are ensnared in bitterness and distrust and fear and paranoia, they often want to put that yoke on those who have the faith of a child. So as the one walking with the faith of the child, however they're applying that faith, whether it be in their job, their finances, their relationships, they don't get that, so they're angry because they don't see it as a child. They don't trust it as a child. They're cynical. And they will often try to get other people. I used to do that with my wife. We were newly married. I had a lot of fears and stuff, and she was very like a child trusting the Lord, and I would want her to see it from a cynical point of view oftentimes, you know. Get with it. Do you realize what we're doing? Do you realize, you know what I mean? And she would never jump into the lake with me on that. She said, you want me to, then we could both be acting like you, and that would do what? So there was often a tension there early on. As I was learning to trust, she had, you know, grown up in literally third world poverty. They had grown up in rolling a tortilla and putting jalapeno peppers in it, and that was dinner in the desert. She had seen stuff I couldn't even imagine. So when she married me, she had seen manna from heaven year after year after situation. So to her, getting all taxed up and sometimes the facts was a waste of energy because worrying never changed anything for me, you know, ever has. So yeah, it's a great point, Matt, but it's a big lesson. It's a big lesson, but it's interesting because you kept it. So it's really good, bro. I think it's a good ambition, and I think it speaks to the current man we are in a situation. Well, I don't know. Every time we get something coming down, we always think it's the worst we've ever seen. But there's just so much history, you know. But, yeah, this is a time where a lot of fear-mongering is going on, and there's a lot of people think they got it figured out. And, a child. Yeah, that really hits me this morning. Wow. Yeah, that's heavy. Good stuff, man. Good. Things like that. Nothing from a child.
I'll close it up in prayer if anybody has anything else to say.
Yes.
Lord, I just thank you for the message, God.
Yes, God. Thank you.
This is not a works-based thing, Lord. This is right. Simply loving upon a Father who takes care of us and taking the hand of the Father.
Yes.
So, Lord, whatever you lead us, God, your hand is out, Lord. I pray we not choose to cower away in a corner, God, and do our own thing, God. I pray that we could step out, Lord. It doesn't matter the circumstance. Lord. We're in a time of contrast between light and darkness, Lord. And as darkness increases, the very glimpse of the light is going to bring light in the midst of the darkness, God. The darkness is going to get darker, but the light is going to get brighter. And what attitude do we have? Do we stand in despair like the world? Do we stand in fear from the unseen? Or do we trust in you as a child just simply goes to a park and, you know, do we look around for those that we may think that we're better than? Do we understand your love for them, that you died for each and every person? Doesn't matter how foolish, how much teeth are in their mouth. And Lord, I just pray that for myself, for everybody here, Lord, that we step out, Lord. And Lord, even the bias against a retail worker, even biased against somebody's personality or cultural personality, Lord, it doesn't matter, God. Let us not have a prejudice against culture. Let us not have prejudice against age. Let us not have a prejudice against circumstance of others. Even the most disenfranchised people, Lord, you are disenfranchising them to enfranchise them in your kingdom, God. So I pray that we're aware of that, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be aware that I don't look to the students and go, oh, I just want to see, and not look to the community around me, Lord. Help us, Lord, to take the Father's hand, to walk in faith. And, Lord, it's not by our works. When we approach somebody and you have something to say, Lord, it's not going to be by our... let us get out of that mindset of our smart thinking, God, our eloquent speech, God, our right accuracy and this and that. Lord, you will make a way if we are willing, God. So I pray that we would hear you clearly and not step out in areas that are not of you. I pray that we would just become like children in this season and have that inquisitive, loving nature, God, that holds no prejudice. Lord, remove political cynicism and all the garbage that's going around here, Lord. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the wicked that are in there, Lord. They just need you, Lord. And I know, Lord, you're going to save wretched politicians. You're going to see them to salvation. It's not just, other people, Lord. We need to pray for the wicked, for the enemy against us, God. We pray for their salvation. We pray for Biden's salvation, God. We pray for all these people, Lord. What kind of damage can we do for the kingdom if we pray, earnestly pray for these people, God? That's the stuff the enemy gets freaked out, Lord. The enemy has no problem with us complaining about this or that, complaining about our circumstance, complaining about our boss, complaining about what other people have. But instead of praying for those that are even doing better than us, doing worse than us, taking advantage of us, not taking advantage of, Lord, all those things, we just kind of put them aside and we just pray, God. So we just pray, help us to not be embittered. Help us not to be disobedient. Help us to be as sons, Lord, to know that it's not by our merit, but it's just, Lord, Lord, our heart, a child's heart, that's what you're looking for, Lord. Help us never, Lord, never to transform somebody else, God, into something that is not of you, God. In Jesus' name.